You're listening to Jefferson Public Radio's Classics and News Service. I'm Vanessa Finney. And we have a treat today, a half-hour interview and live session with an international trio comprising Grammy Award-winning vocalist Cecilia Duarte, percussionist Jesus Pacheco, and pianist Ana Maria Otamendi. Earlier this morning on our news and information service, I spoke with Cecilia one-on-one during the Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange, and you can hear that 15-minute interview at jeffexchange.org. Cecilia, Jesus, and Ana Maria, a warm welcome to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So we brought you into the studio today, first of all, to give a sneak preview of your concert this weekend. It's happening Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Southern Oregon University Music Recital Hall, with tickets available at humanitytickets.org. This is also an opportunity to give our listeners a peek behind the program and a background on all of you as artists. Now, Cecilia, you're from Mexico, Ana Maria is from Venezuela, and Jesus is from Spain. So considering you were all born in different countries, how did you all meet?
All right. So I met Jesus, who is my husband, in Germany back in 2009. He actually moved to the United States in 2012. And we have our daughter that's accompanying us today. She's a 10-year-old daughter. And Ana Maria and I met back in 2011 through Houston Grand Opera. She was a young artist back at that time. But that was the beginning of many more projects that we got to do together. And so now at some point we found collaboration between the three of us, and that's something we fully enjoy.
Well, on that note, ensembles who work as closely as you all do tend to become tight-knit, almost like a family. And I understand you vacation together.
Indeed. We have become like family, really. We have been spending the holidays, the Christmas holidays, together for now more than 10 years, actually, since Julia was a little girl. And we have pictures of Christmas and New Year's with Julia sleeping with our puppy and just while we're partying. So we have made some beautiful memories together beyond our musical collaboration.
Lovely. Now, all three of you work in various ensembles beside this one, this trio, with other artists. And I'm always interested in the management of a busy music career. So how challenging is it for all of you to coordinate your calendars for touring and recording, let alone your vacations?
Yeah, Ceci and I, as being the head of a family that also, we don't have any close family members in Houston. Our families are back in Mexico and Spain. We have a shared calendar that we need to keep up to date, you know, and I'm more of a local based percussionist. Ceci travels quite a bit in some parts of the season. And, you know, we all try to, you know, manage, and with freelancers, it's always that puzzle, right? What do you have going on? We try to move things around, and it's always a challenge, but it's also part of the job. I mean, you know, there is no schedule, no 9-to-5 to follow. So we definitely have to keep up to date with everything. And same thing when we collaborate with people like Ana, who is extremely busy, and you know, it's sometimes a little bit harder than we wish to put it together or to see each other. Like, we wish we could see her and her wife, Elena, more often, because as we said, they're family, and, you know, we don't get to do that as much as possible as we want to. So, yeah, it's always that challenge.
Right. And you two as parents sort of tag team the childcare, and, you know, you might stay home when Cecilia is traveling, and times like now when both of you are performing, she gets to come along. And,
yes.
And you were talking in our earlier interview with Cecilia about how accustomed she's become in traveling. She's an old hand now.
Yes. Well, she basically, since she's a baby, she's used to being in performance halls and rehearsal spaces. So she's well acquainted with that. She's an expert, and she's the most flexible kid we know. We're so grateful for
her. She's a trooper. Last night, she already made friends with some of the audience members while we were performing, and she was waving, and yeah, she's totally part of the whole act.
Oh, it'll be interesting to see if she becomes a professional. Of course, right now, she's ignoring us under headphones like every preteen should.
Yeah.
Well, I understand you're playing some selections today from Sunday's concert. What would you like to start with?
We're going to start with a set by Manuel de Falla from his wonderful work, El Amor Brujo, or Love the Sorcerer. Just to give you a little context, this piece or this big work is a Spanish ballet pantomime by Manuel de Falla about Candelas. She's a young gypsy widow haunted by the ghost of her unfaithful and jealous husband. Every time she tries to, get started again and move on with her life, she actually loves this guy called Carmelo, but their love is impeded every time the spirit of the jealous husband comes and interrupts everything. So here it goes.
Candela que arde, pasar del infierno que toita mi sangre abraza de celos. Ay, cuando el río suena que querrá decir. Cuando el río suena, si el agua no mata el fuego, a mí el vená me condena, a mí el queré me envenena, a mí me matan las penas. oye el viento en que suspiras, soy la mar en que naufragas, soy la mar en que naufragas.
A reminder, you're tuned in to the Classics and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Vanessa Finney, talking live and listening live to Grammy-winning vocalist Cecilia Duarte, percussionist Jesus Pacheco, and pianist Ana Maria Otamendi about their Sunday matinee concert this weekend. Tickets and details are at humanitytickets.com. Tell us a little bit about Manuel de Falla, whose work you just performed, and the stories of these songs in particular. That last piece was a story of betrayal, was it not?
Yes, Manuel de Falla, in this piece in particular, not only works in the subject of love and passion and betrayal, but he works in a key of flamenco, which is very important to understand because flamenco is an art that expresses these overwhelming feelings. All that flamenco is about, although people understand that is, you know, about the stomping or the virtuosistic guitar or thing or the intricate rhythms, it all actually works in service of feelings. Of feelings that wouldn't otherwise be expressed better than with music and with passion. And that's what you hear in Ceci's voice too, this like almost raw, you know, singing, which is kind of like the flamenco style. And that's the story. The story is extremely strong, and the feelings about it are extremely strong. Manuel de Falla was a big perfectionist in his lifetime. He didn't produce as much music, although he had a pretty long life. And El Amor Brujo, like all of his creations, are just perfectly a drawing of Spanish music and folklore and that way of expressing feeling.
Ana Maria, Cecilia, anything to add to that about his work?
I think in this last piece that you just heard, there's also part of what the music is called, or the piece is called Love the Magician. So she is creating a spell to be able to get rid of the ghost of her husband. And actually in doing that, she also gets rid of the lover. So the woman that he was cheating on with, and it's just like, okay, I'm done. Now I can finally move on with my life. So what you heard here is this big scene in which that's happening. So it's also very exciting in the ballet.
Right. Yeah. And in translation, the it's very a force to be reckoned with. You're singing things like, I am the sea you will drown in.
Yes, it's basically, this is like the closing moment, right? She's saying, you are that evil gypsy that a gypsy girl loved. Yeah. You know, the love that she gave you, you never deserved. Who could have thought that with another you would betray her? And that those last words, that's when the conjure, you know, happens. Yes. I am the voice of your destiny. I am the fire in which you burn. I am the wind in which you sigh. I am the sea in which you drown.
There you go. Yeah, it's a tale as old as time. What other composers will you be representing this weekend at your concert? And how did you put this program together? You had your curator hat on for this.
So a lot of the sets that you will hear, most of the program you will hear, we have been doing for a while. A lot of this music was born, you know, out of the desire of working, you know, Ana Maria and I had been working for a while. And when I put this program together, I remember it was actually for a final recital to get my degree. Yeah. And I remember, we vocalists tend not to think about anybody else around us. But in this time, I remember just thinking, I really want to put material in which Ana Maria can show how brilliant she is. And so I was not only thinking about what I wanted to sing, but also like how she was going to be like showing off like all her brilliance. And then like in the case of the Falla set, like we included Jesus, and I told Jesus, I would love for you to add percussion to this the Falla set that we're preparing. He was a little bit hesitant to do that. Yeah. I mean, he can tell you more about it, but in the end, he came up with like this amazing accompaniment that I think brings a total new life to the piece. So yeah, a lot of it we have been doing for a while. And then, you know, as we keep doing these programs all around the country, we add new things. Mm-hmm. You know, we're already thinking, okay, what else do we want to do, the three of us together? Because this is a good combination.
Yeah, it's a wonderful lifelong pursuit. Jesus, I would like to hear your feelings about that, because I know there's some purists where, you know, no, the bongo isn't used in bossa nova. Mm-hmm, and and so to, you know, it takes a certain amount of artistic chutzpah to bring a new arrangement to a well-known work. So
yeah, my hesitation was coming from how Falla thought everything out. And for example, he never got to know the cajon as an instrument, which is this one I'm sitting on, and that you heard on the first and the last movement. He never got to know this instrument as part of flamenco, and even flamenco purists actually kind of resisted that inclusion of the cajon. The cajon comes actually originally from Peru. I believe if he would have met the instrument, he would have probably written for it in the style, but he didn't have that time. And I tried to include orchestral percussion, like the castanets, the triangle, and tambourine, which are instruments that he included in his suites, like the three-cornered hat and many other pieces, La Vida Breve, so many others. So I'm trying to be as as accurate as I can be with what I thought he would have done. But I was hesitant because I know he didn't like changes on his pieces at all, even rearrangements and a little snippet on a note he would notice and he would not be happy about, because he was sort of a chemist as a composer, someone that thought about every element of the piece. So when Ceci told me at first, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but eventually it's actually very fun to get to put, you know, what I know about orchestral percussion and about flamenco and cajon to this piece. And as Ceci saying, give it another dynamic and another color.
All right. Well, we're glad you did. It has a really profound effect.
Thank you.
So you all specialize in Latin American works, right? Although your repertoire is very broad. I was wondering if there's anything you'd like our audience to know about that huge body of work. Is there something under-recognized by music fans, music critics?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been doing a lot of Latin American music, both with voice. I have a trio, and we basically are devoted to the music from Latin America, as well as standard repertoire. And it's interesting because even me being from Venezuela, there's so much of this music that I never knew when I was in Venezuela and I was born and raised there. So I realized that even in Latin America, a lot of these composers are not really well known. Or if you know the composer, you know Villalobos, you know the Baquianas Brasileiras, and that's it. And he wrote over 1,000 works. So the more that we dig into it, the more we realize how rich it is and how nobody really knows it. Mm. So it's become a bit of a crusade for me to find these works, to perform these works, to assign the works to my students. And it's really exciting when we play things like this and then young singers or young pianists, they listen to them and they're like, wow, I love this set. I would love to learn it and perform in my recital. And that's the whole point. So I think Ceci is also a wonderful ambassador of Latin American music because it's gorgeous and it deserves to be known. And it also creates such beautiful contrast in a recital program. So like what we're doing, we have some Respighi and some Schumann and some Debussy, and the Falla and the Ginastera just bring a completely fresh sound into a concert.
So. Agreed. There is that special creative pleasure about bringing the so-called hidden gems
Absolutely.
To light, isn't there? Yeah. Let's hear another set.
Okay, so we're going to present to you some of our Ginastera, Alberto Ginastera from Argentina. This is Canción al Árbol del Olvido.
Maybe I can say just a couple words about what this is about. So this first song is called A Song to the Tree of Oblivion. And it basically talks about somebody who has a tree in their land, in the Pampas in Argentina, and says there's this tree called the Tree of Oblivion, where people who are dying in their soul go to lie down. And in order not to think of you, I want to take a nap under this tree, but I forgot to forget you. And now I wake up and I'm still thinking of you.
En mis magos hay un árbol que del olvido se llama. Que van a despenarse Vidal y Tay, los moribundos del alma. despertar de aquel sueño, pensaba en vos otra vez, pues me olvidé de olvidarte, vitalitai. En cuantito me acosté,
listening to a live session on the Classics and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. You just heard from vocalist Cecilia Duarte, percussionist Jesus Pacheco, and pianist Ana Maria Otamendi performing selections from their concert this Sunday at the SOU Music Recital Hall. Can you give us some insights into that set you just performed for us?
The first song, Canción al Árbol del Olvido, is a Vidalita, which is an offshoot of tango rhythm, what you heard on the piano. This rhythm is basically the rhythm of Vidalita. And the second song is part of a set of five called the Five Popular Songs from Argentina. It's called Chacarera. And the Chacarera is a dance from Argentina that is generally for agricultural regions, that is in 6/4, 6/8 and 3/4. And as you hear, it's pretty lively. It's danced in couples, much more approachable than tango. So a lot more people in Argentina know how to dance it. And the last song you heard, Triste, it's a Quechua lament from the Pampas.
Thank you. Okay, all work from Alberto Ginastera.
Yes.
Where are some of the places you three have toured together around the world? I would love to get a glimpse of life on the road with professional musicians. If you can think of a special memory or maybe a special challenge on the road that you want to share quickly.
Let me think. We've done this in Houston. We took it to Chicago.
El Paso.
That's right. El Paso was one of the first, traveling outside of our homes after COVID. So that was also a special one. We went to Louisiana.
That's right. I'm hoping I can bring you guys to Michigan as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Jesus and Cecilia, I'd love to hear about a joint project that sounds really fascinating. We've got about 1 minute left. If you could talk about the community programs you created in Texas to promote Latin American Baroque music.
Yeah, so one of the things that both Ceci and I do a lot is early music, which is, for those who don't know, historically informed performances with instruments that are replica from the time when we use instrumentation. Ceci and I are very active in the Houston community with that style of music. And we have created, especially for the company Ars Lyrica Houston, which is one of the early music companies there, we've created occasional programs. The one that is being more popular is called Orígenes. And it has a heavy Latin American and Spanish element on early music. You know, so we're talking about 16th, 17th century music in Spain, but also how it affected contemporary music today, kind of bringing relevancy to early music into how, you know, we wouldn't have many other music that we know these days. And of course, there is a heavy Spanish language element too. And this project has been very successful with fifth graders in Houston through the Discovery series at the Hovey Center.
Sounds wonderful. Before I let you all go, until Sunday, till I see you on Sunday, any final thoughts about the concert? Anyone should know?
We're just very excited to be here. We really hope that people come. We like talking to people just like we did now, you know, sharing about the material we're presenting. So people might be, you know, maybe getting more interested into like knowing the music of all of these composers and our work, and, you know, like get them, you know, also acquainted with Anima Mundi Productions. You know, thanks to them, we are here. And so we hope to bring new members to their audiences as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Cecilia, Jesus, and Ana Maria for your time and sharing your art today.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Vanessa Finney, and you've been listening to a special live session with Grammy-winning vocalist Cecilia Duarte, percussionist Jesus Pacheco, and pianist Ana Maria Otamendi about their concert this Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Southern Oregon University Music Recital Hall. You can find tickets and more details at humanitytickets.com. And a reminder that you can find my earlier interview from this morning with Cecilia at jeffexchange.org. Thanks so much for tuning in, and have a wonderful day.